following program is suitable for all audiences.
It's a Cam Keep. Takes off to the end zone for the touchdown.
You know, obviously, it starts with the quarterback. You know, he's big, he's physical, he's strong, he can make all the throws. They've got two tall receivers. You know, I think they got a pretty good 1-2 punch as far as their back tandem. You know, defensively, I think they're top five statistically. You know, they haven't had a lot of interceptions. I think they've had one less than we have. But a good football team.
Here's Jordan Howard making the cut upfield, stays on his feet, breaks loose. Howard going down the sideline. Chased by Carr, and Carr got to him and knocked him out of bounds. What a run by Jordan Howard.
You know, we've got to be on our game on both sides of the ball, being able to run it and stop the run. I mean, they're a very good running football team, and we know that.
Trubisky being rushed, throws to the end zone for Deion Sims. He's got it for a touchdown.
Well, the biggest thing you most need anything else is you kind of see what kind of throws he can make, and you know, we see the deep out, you know, from one hash to the, from the opposite hash to outside the numbers. You see the deep digs coming across the middle. You see the long ball ability that he has. I mean, he makes all the throws. It's just a matter of them implementing it and putting it into their system. I think the big thing about Mitch, more so than anything else, is we got a chance to see who he is from watching when he was at UNC. I think that's probably the one thing that I was more impressed with, watching him as a leader and the way he, you know, he basically took the reins of that football team last year. And he's an exciting player.
Cheers, Bears fans! Welcome to Bears on Tap. I am Aldo Gandia. In our intro, you heard comments from John Fox and Ron Rivera, of course, the head coaches for Sunday's match between the Bears and the Panthers. I also want to welcome the Panthers fans stopping by the barroom to listen in on our guest, Bradley Smith, the managing editor at CatScratchReader.com. He will join us briefly, but first, my opening thought. I gotta tell you, I got a bit wistful listening to Ron Rivera's press conferences this week. The former Bear linebacker was a member of the Super Bowl 20 team. He played 9 seasons with the Bears, and he added 5 more as a coach. Ron was a special kind of player. He wasn't flashy like Otis Wilson. He wasn't telegenic like Mike Singletary. And clearly, he didn't have the physical talents of Wilbur Marshall. But Ron was a Bear, a valuable component of the team because he played smart and was a great teammate. As a coach, he proved his worth. He was defensive coordinator under Lovie Smith, and in 2005, the Bears' defense was the second best unit in the NFL. A year later, when the team made the Super Bowl, it was the third best. Rivera now was only the Bears' defensive coordinator because Lovie Smith was unable to land his buddy, Rod Marinelli, and Bears' general manager, Jerry Angelo, insisted Rivera was right for the job. Angelo was, of course, correct. But according to several reports, Smith never really liked having Rivera around, who preferred a attacking Buddy Ryan-type defense to Lovie's cover two. After the Bears lost to the Colts in Super Bowl 41, Rivera's contract was not renewed. Essentially, he was fired, and he was forced to take a job with the Chargers as their linebacker coach. It was basically a demotion and a cut in pay. Dan Hampton, a friend of Rivera, said Lovie stabbed him in the back. But as everyone knows, Ron got the last laugh over Lovie, who is unlikely to ever coach again in the NFL. Rivera is all class. He never said an ill word about Lovie Smith or almost anyone else. When the Bears finally move on from John Fox, I hope they hire a man with the integrity, leadership skills, and smarts of a Ron Rivera. All right, now as promised, with me is Bradley Smith, the managing editor at CatScratchReader.com. You can find him on Twitter at BDubSmitty. Bradley, welcome to Bears on Tap. Tell me, this 4-2 Panthers team, is that record a good indication of what kind of team they are this year?
Yeah, I think so. Our two losses. The first one was a terrible, no good, bad day at home to the Saints. And I think I think a lot of people are starting to figure out that New Orleans is pretty good this year. It's, you know, the joke in the NFL for the last couple of years has been the cure to a bad offense facing New Orleans, and that hasn't appeared to be the case this year. So I think, you know, that loss was more a New Orleans is more legit than we want to give them credit for than it says anything about the Panthers. And, you know, we lost last Thursday night to Philadelphia, who I believe is probably the best, if not one of the two or three best teams in the NFC right now. So, you know, there's absolutely no shame in losing to them. And, you know, we probably could have won that game if there wouldn't have been two terrible interceptions inside our own 15-yard line that basically gifted the Eagles their two touchdowns. So I think what Chicago should expect is a Panthers team that is a serious contender for an NFC title. I mean, we rolled over San Francisco in week one. We won a defensive slugfest in Buffalo in week two. We went on the road back-to-back and beat New England and Detroit. So I think that Chicago is going to have a tough task at hand on Sunday.
Now, tell me a little bit more about that that loss to New Orleans. It was at home. The score was 34-13, and Breeze threw three touchdowns. What happened to the Panthers losing at home?
Well, one thing I think is, you know, it was a division game, and, you know, those games can go either way pretty much every single time, regardless of who the two teams are playing, because they play so frequently, you know, they know each other's tendencies. And we were still in the middle of Cam Newton trying to get over the hump from his shoulder surgery last offseason, and he really didn't reach that point of being quote unquote ready to go until probably around the middle of the first half of the Patriots game, which was the following week. And, you know, Drew Brees is Drew Brees, and, you know, Sean Payton just had the perfect game plan to scheme against our defense, and they just shredded us apart. Our defense likes to play in a cover two type shell zone, and Sean Payton and Drew Brees both know that the best and easiest way to exploit that, you know, over the middle, with quick passes and short routes and just moving the chains. And they were able to do that on that day and basically romp the Panthers. It the game was 34-13, but it felt even worse than that. It was just like I said, a really bad day for Carolina.
Now, then the following week, as you mentioned, on the road against the Patriots, a 3-point win, and then on the road against the Detroit Lions in a 3-point win. In fact, the Panthers are undefeated on the road this season. Can you characterize those two 3-point wins over what are really two good home teams, two tough venues to play at?
Yeah, well, one thing, those two teams, it's New England especially, their defense is not as good this year as it has been in the past. So I think that Carolina was able to exploit that. You know, Detroit is still good defensively, but they were banged up and they were missing a few key players. But Cam Newton was able to move the ball downfield. He finally got over the rust of not having much of a preseason because he only played in one quarter of one preseason game. And in that game, he only threw two passes. So he hasn't been practicing during the week for most of the season. He's been held out of a lot of team activity. So the first three or four games were really kind of like his preseason where he was working out the rust. And we saw in New England, he was able to finally let loose and be himself. You know, the offensive coordinator didn't hold him back by not letting him run. That was one of the key things that we noticed in the first part of the year. He was staying in the pocket and he wasn't, you know, being Cam Newton. And against New England, he was able to do that. And he was able to put the team on his back, so to speak, and you know, get the offense going.
Who is running the offense over there for Ron Rivera?
It is Mike Shula, unfortunately.
Not a popular guy in Carolina, huh?
No, he is not very popular at all.
Okay. Well, is he at fault for the team's running game issues? Because the run game for the Panthers is pretty much non-existent so far.
Yeah, I think he's partially at fault. I do think there are two other things that probably have a little bit more to do with it, though. Number one is we've been without our starting center, Ryan Khalil, since week one. He woke up on Sunday of week two in Buffalo with a sore neck, and he hasn't played since. And, you know, he's the guy that he calls the blocking assignments and the schemes for the offensive line. So without him, you know, they're kind of lost on necessarily what to do. And another thing is, you know, the running game has really only struggled since a couple of weeks ago when we played Detroit. And Detroit has a really good front seven, as well as Philadelphia. Philadelphia probably has the best front seven in the entire NFL. And especially with guys like Fletcher Cox, you know, clogging up the middle and destroying offensive linemen. So I think that with Ryan Khalil back, because he's supposed to play on Sunday. I don't know if he will or not, but he's been practicing this week, and the unofficial word is that he's going to suit up and play. So that should help Carolina be able to run the ball a little bit better because they'll have their anchor back in the middle of the offensive line. But one of the other problems is Mike Shula doesn't – there's no variation in the run game. Like, if you're watching a Panthers game, you know that on first down, he's going to hand it off to Jonathan Stewart up the middle, and it's going to be anywhere from negative 2 to +2 yards. You're going to be somewhere in that frame, and you're going to be second and either 12 or 10, somewhere in that, or 8, somewhere in that, you know, that range. And that sets up the offense for failure, because then on second down, you know, what's better than to lose yards on first down is to do it again on second down. And, you know, then we're in third and long, and, you know, the defense knows exactly what we're going to do. We have to throw the ball deep on third and long to, you know, pick up the first down. And it's just, it's things like that really hamper the offense. And when they run no huddle, when Cam Newton is running the offense and they're in the 2-minute drill, they move the ball much, much better than they do when Mike Shula is calling plays.
Let's talk a little bit about the passing game. The top receiver on the team, Kelvin Benjamin, what's his season been looking like? And who else on that passing offense are players that the Bears should be concerned about?
Well, with Kelvin Benjamin, you might not need to be too concerned about him as a Bears fan, because he is dealing with a sore knee. I don't know if you watched the Panthers-Eagles game on Thursday night, but he took a helmet shot to the knee, and he actually saw a physician today because the swelling hasn't gone down. So there's a chance that he won't even play on Sunday. If he doesn't play, you know, the name you really need to look out for is Devin Funchess. He's our number two wide receiver, and he's really come into his own this year. He is stepped up big time since we lost Greg Olsen to a broken foot, you know, back in the second game of the year. And he already has 3 touchdowns on the year, which is more than he's had in any season so far in his career. And he's built a lot like Kelvin Benjamin. He's 6'5", 6'4", 6'5". You know, he's fast. He's faster than he looks because he's so tall. He has a large catch radius. He can get open down the field. So if I'm the Bears, I would definitely put a set of eyes on number 17.
Excellent. Well, and tell me a little bit about Christian McCaffrey, somebody that our draft analysts here at our website, Bears Barroom, really fell in love with. How's he been playing for the Panthers?
We are really happy with Christian McCaffrey. They're not using him like a traditional running back. They're using him more like a Wes Welker, Julian Edelman type player, where he lines up, you know, in the slot. He splits out wide. He catches passes out of the backfield, you know, things like that. His touchdowns this year have both been receiving touchdowns. He doesn't have a rushing touchdown yet. They're still using Jonathan Stewart as the primary running back. So, you know, but one thing that Christian McCaffrey does that truly helps the Panthers, and it worked to perfection against New England. You know, they put him out there at running back, and then they motioned him out to the slot. The entire Patriots defense followed and shifted their focus to Christian McCaffrey, and it left Fozzie Whitaker, our third running back, wide open for a screenplay that went 40 yards for a touchdown. So just having him on the field makes the defense account for him, and it gives us an advantage in some matchups where we've got one-on-one or even wide open players that, Cam Newton can find and exploit. You know, it happened the next week in Detroit where Ed Dixon had a career day of 180 receiving yards because they focused on Christian McCaffrey and forgot that Ed Dixon was on the field.
Yeah, I saw that game. That was a tremendous performance by Dixon. Tell us a little bit about Curtis Samuel, another guy that we liked here at the Bar Room. He was drafted in the second round, and there's a chance he might see more playing time now that Benjamin is probably a no-go for Sunday.
Yeah, we're hopeful that we'll get to see more of him. He's been kind of a disappointment since he got drafted because he's been injured a lot. He got hurt in training camp. You know, he hurt his hamstring. He didn't play at all until I think it was the third preseason game, and he only played about half of that game. But they force fed him the ball just to, you know, see what he could do. And he's got, you know, he's got speed. He's got good hands. He can play running back. He can play wide receiver. He can return kicks. I mean, he's got, you know, the jet sweep option is there for him if he can stay on the field and stay healthy. He's been on the injured list, you know, two or three times already, and he, you know, we're only in week seven. So we're really hopeful that he can stay healthy, and we're really hopeful that, especially this week, if Kelvin Benjamin isn't able to play, we're going to need somebody to be able to stretch the field. And, you know, we're looking forward to seeing, you know, what he can actually do, because I don't think we've seen that yet.
And Greg Olsen, our old friend here in Chicago, he's still injured?
Yes, he still has a broken foot. He, a week ago, he was able to take the cast off. I think he's in a walking boot now. He might make the trip. Just because he played for Chicago, he might want to see some old friends or whatever. Mm-hmm. But the expectation is that he will be available to come off of injured reserve after the Panthers' bye week, which is in week 11. Mm. Because he got hurt in week 2, they put him on injured reserve right after, so he has to miss the minimum of 8 weeks. So we're hoping to get him back for a playoff push later in the year.
Okay, let's talk about the defense, and it looks like Sunday will be a no-go for your superstar inside linebacker, Luke Kuechly. Is that correct?
Yeah, he's not going to play, I don't think. He's still in the concussion protocol. You know, there's a small, slight percent chance that he can suit up and play. But it's up to the independent doctors, because, you know, the NFL has the, you know, the third party has to approve him to play. He did practice at least in individual drills. He practiced yesterday and today. He hasn't put on pads and practiced with the team yet. But according to Ron Rivera, he's in step, I want to say, 4 or 5 of the 7-step process in the concussion protocol. So I would expect that we should see, you know, absolutely see him next week. But, you know, there's a small chance, like a 2% chance, that you'll see him on Sunday.
And Coach Rivera has a reputation for being very conservative, correct, on how and when bringing back players who have suffered head injuries?
Yes, he is very conservative. And, you know, one of our internal debates with my editorial staff on Cat Scratch Reader, I'm one of the few people that believe he won't play at all on Sunday, whether he's healthy or not. You know, some of our guys believe that he might suit up if he's ready to go, if the doctor clears him to play. But knowing Ron Rivera, I truly think that he won't even make the trip. I think they'll hold him off one more week just to protect him from himself, because, you know, Luke Kuechly doesn't care who he hits and how hard he hits him. He likes to play football. And, you know, I think coming off of what could be a third concussion in 3 years, I think an extra week off would be a benefit to his career and to the team as a whole and to Luke Kuechly personally. You know, as much as we like watching football, and as much as we, you know, I personally want the Panthers to win on Sunday, it's just a game. And, you know, it doesn't really mean anything past that. But for Luke Kuechly, it could be a matter of quality of life down the road, you know, if he comes back too soon. So, you know, I hope that Ron Rivera does do what I feel is the right thing and keep him home one more week.
I'm with you 100%. Now, let's talk a little bit about Kurt Coleman, the safety. It looks like he's going to be back from injury, and that should help the team's defense. This is what Coach Rivera said, I believe it was on Thursday, about Coleman coming in and helping if Kuechly cannot play.
Well, that helps tremendously because, you know, with Luke right now, with Kurt out, Luke was helping the secondary a lot. Now you know if you don't have Luke, you know you'll have Kurt back there who can control the secondary. So you know it takes a lot of pressure off of whoever's going to play the mic for you if Luke's not going to play.
Tell me a little bit about Kurt Coleman. Who is he? And obviously, Coach Rivera holds him in high esteem, huh?
Yeah, he does. Kurt Coleman is one of our best defensive players, and he is a veteran leader. We signed him in 2015. He came in on a prove it, you know, 1 or 2 year contract. He turned out to be one of the best deals we made that year. He was instrumental in our Super Bowl run. He actually led the league in interceptions that year, I believe. He had like 7 or 8 interceptions. He does control the defense. He's the veteran guy back there. He's a team captain. This year it's the first year he's been voted team captain, but you know, he's a team captain this year. He's been sorely missed the last couple of weeks. I think we probably would have beaten Philadelphia if we would have had him on the field. And I don't think that New England or Detroit would have been able to come back in the second half if, you know, and make it closer than it was, because the Panthers blew 14-point leads in both of those games. And I think that with Kurt Coleman in the secondary, I don't think that would have happened. So, you know, he's not quite Luke Kuechly important, but he is pretty close to it.
And then there's Julius Peppers, a guy we know very well here in Chicago. He's having quite a season. I think he's got 6.5 sacks this season. So going back home to Carolina has rejuvenated him, huh?
Yeah, I still can't get that he's 37, because he doesn't play like a 37-year-old, you know. I'm personally 37, and he makes me feel like I'm 70. You know, he's playing like he's 25 and he wants another contract. I mean, it's amazing how much of a difference he has made to our pass rush. He's on pace for like 19 sacks. He has 6.5 right now through 7 weeks. He actually should have 7.5. He was kind of cheated out of one a couple of weeks ago. You know, he sacked the quarterback, but they called it something else. It wasn't quite a sack. I think the quarterback stepped forward 1 foot and barely got over the line of scrimmage, and they blew it dead at that point. But, you know, it's amazing to me how he plays so well for Carolina. He leaves. He goes to Chicago. He still plays well. He leaves Chicago. He goes to Green Bay, and he plays well there. And then he comes back to Carolina, and it's like he never left. You know, the defensive line looks like it did back in 2008 when he was here before. So it's certainly a refreshing sight to see.
Well, this is what Peppers said about pass rushing and putting pressure on the Bears' rookie quarterback, Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah, that's the goal every week, is to try to pressure and disrupt the opposing quarterback. No different this week. You know, he's a rookie, so he hasn't seen everything yet, but he's a good player.
Talk to me about this Panthers pass rush and blitzing schemes. Are they a heavy blitzing team usually? And just overall, tell me about the pass rush.
We don't blitz a lot. We generally rely on our front four to get all of our pressure. We have, you know, Julius Peppers that we've talked about. We have Mario Addison at the other defensive end position. And we have Kawan Short at defensive tackle, who is one of the best defensive tackles, pass rushing defensive tackles in the NFL. And I think really he's the only one I've seen so far this year in the NFC that I've personally watched that's better than Kawan Short is Fletcher Cox. And, you know, when we have a front four that three of them are really good pass rushers, we don't really need to blitz all that often. But one thing that Steve Wilks, our defensive coordinator, will do is he'll disguise a blitz, out of nowhere. Like, you know, he likes to use Captain Munnerlyn for that role at the cornerback position. He'll put Captain Munnerlyn in. We'll be in a nickel formation, and it'll be a nickel back blitz. And, you know, teams are usually not prepared for that. We were able to find success with it against both Philadelphia and Detroit. And, you know, Wilkes is more aggressive than Sean McDermott was when he was our defensive coordinator. But it's mostly the same scheme. It's the old Jim Johnson scheme where you use exotic blitz packages where you don't know where the blitz is going to come from or when it's going to happen. But we don't use it enough for me to say that we're a quote unquote blitzing team. Our pass rush is mostly dependent on our defensive ends and Kawan Short being able to get pressure.
Okay. And of course, when playing the Bears, the key is to stop the run. And this is what Coach Rivera said about stopping Jordan Howard.
And really, the guy you guys should ask should be Julius. Julius will tell you exactly what, because he's told the defense exactly what to expect from this guy. You know, this guy's a solid runner, big runner, physical. He's tough to bring down. He's got tremendous balance. He's got good vision. I mean, you can see that on tape. But when Julius steps up and tells everybody what it's all about, I think that, you know, he sends a pretty good message.
Talk to me about this run defense of the Panthers. So how are they doing this season?
They're doing pretty good. I think they're like 15th or so in the league. They're statistically, they're mediocre. They had a really good game against Buffalo. They held LeSean McCoy to like 12 yards. And, you know, they've struggled in the last couple of weeks. But the thing is it looks worse than it is because they'll give up a 15, 20-yard run. And then, you know, they don't give up much after that. So, you know, you see the highlight reel and you see somebody like LeGarrette Blount or – you know, Amir Abdullah bust off an 18, 20-yard gain, and you think, oh, the Panthers can't defend the run. But that's not always the case. They've struggled a little bit over the last couple of weeks, but I think Julius Peppers knowing what to expect from Jordan Howard will be a benefit to Carolina. I do think Howard will be able to get something going for the Bears, but I don't expect him to really I'm not looking at for 150 yards, three touchdowns type day from Howard.
Yeah, Rivera pointed out in the press conference that those numbers are excellent and he's deserving of all the praise, but he also pointed out that he had a couple of big overtime runs against the Ravens where he rushed for 150 plus yards and in the other victory against the Steelers he also had a long overtime run. And so the thinking, I guess, by Rivera is this game is not going to go into overtime on Sunday, so the chances of Howard running for 150 plus yards are greatly diminished, but we'll see. Now, statistically, one of the issues afflicting this team is turnovers. They haven't had an interception since game one, am I right there?
Yeah, you're right. We only have one interception on the year, and it was Luke Kuechly. We have, I believe we have four turnovers. We have three fumbles and one interception, and we haven't had any games with more than one turnover since week one. We had a fumble recovery and an interception in week one, and then we didn't have any at all until I believe against New England. It was either New England or Detroit where we forced a fumble. And, you know, it's for a team that a couple of years ago, they went 15-1 and went to the Super Bowl because they were so good at forcing turnovers. It's weird seeing mostly the same unit having the complete opposite problem. Like, we can't buy a turnover at this point. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's one of the reasons that we're 4-2. I believe if, especially against New Orleans, if we could have forced a couple of turnovers, we might have had a chance to keep that game competitive and maybe steal it at the end. But yeah, it's a significant problem that we're hoping gets solved pretty quickly. Cause you know, just as well as I do, you cannot win consistently in the NFL if you cannot force turnovers.
Mm-hmm. Bradley, tell me a little bit about the special teams for the Panthers. Anything extraordinary or a major weakness that Bears fans should be aware of?
Well, we don't really have any weaknesses that are, you know, that terrible. Our kick return unit is probably our weakest point because Christian McCaffrey is our punt returner, and he hasn't broke one yet, but you know, that's mostly because there's no blocking in front of him. You know, he gets 5 or 6 yards per return. So it's basically your standard punt play. Graham Gano is still our kicker. He'll make it if it's 45 yards or closer. And if it's more than 45 and out, he probably won't. It's pretty much been the story of his career, especially in Chicago, because I'm sure the wind's going to be blowing like 90 miles an hour. And, you know, if I read correctly, I looked at the weather forecast. It's supposed to be a rainy, windy day on Sunday, isn't it?
That is correct. That was what the forecast that I saw a couple of hours ago here on Thursday. Yeah.
So, yeah, this game could come down to whose special teams unit doesn't screw up. And, you know, our punt team is pretty good. We have a young guy at punter, Michael Pilardi. He beat out Andy Lee in the preseason. He's pretty decent at getting the ball out. He doesn't finesse punt very frequently. He just booms it, and he has a very high hang time, which allows the coverage unit to get downfield. So if we can keep doing that, I think we'll be okay there. But I would look for this game to potentially come down to a Graham Gano 50-yard field goal attempt as time is expiring, and I'm, you know, going to be pacing a hole in my floor.
Well, Bradley, I got to tell you, I consider myself very, very fortunate to have landed an interview with you. You've provided us with a great look at the Panthers. Anything else you want to share about this team that perhaps Bears fans should be aware of?
I think Bears fans will probably enjoy watching this game. We're a fun team to watch. You know, we have Cam Newton, and, you know, like him or hate him, he is a very polarizing player, and he's a very gifted athlete. He's a very good quarterback. He's a lot of fun to watch. And I, you know, even if this game is a blowout either way, I hope Bears fans will at least appreciate, you know, what Cam Newton brings to the table. And I hope they can at least enjoy watching him play. Because, you know, for me personally, one thing I'm going to look forward to is watching Mitch Trubisky, because we didn't really talk about him that much, but
That's right.
I think he's probably going to be one of the two best quarterbacks in this draft class, him and Deshaun Watson. I think that Chicago made a good decision to trade up and draft him. I think he showed in the preseason that he should have started from day one. And, you know, I think if you had anybody other than John Fox as your head coach, he would have started from day one. And, you know, if you guys could find a head coach that can utilize his ability, I think you guys have something and you can build on it.
Well, shame on me for not asking you about Trubisky, because you probably saw him a lot at his last year there at college. And also shame on me for not asking you about John Fox, who you should know quite well from his time there. We've actually started a campaign here at BearsBarroom.com called #FireFox, because we're just sick and tired of the mistakes this guy makes. Tell me what your experience is of watching him as a coach when he was there at Carolina.
Well, he came in 2002, the year after we went 1-15. In 2001, the Panthers won the opening game of the year and then lost every game after that. And so they hired John Fox. And we went to the Super Bowl in 2003. So everything was great. You know, Panthers fans were more than happy to have John Fox on board. And in that Super Bowl, and this is just me, my personal theory here, but in that Super Bowl, you know, he went for two and he didn't get it. And then after that, he started chasing points and he kept going for two. And then eventually in that Super Bowl against the Patriots in the fourth quarter, when it exploded into an offensive shootout, we were in a situation where New England could drive down the field and win the game with a field goal, 32-29. Ever since that loss, John Fox has never taken a risk in his entire life. He has it permanently disabled the risk button in his brain. And if the Panthers would have won that Super Bowl, I truly believe that John Fox would still be our head coach, because he would have known that you can take risk and you can succeed with them. But I can almost tell you, without knowing anything about the situation in Chicago, he was hired. The first year was pretty good. He took a team and made them better than they should have been on paper. And then it started to fall apart.
That's pretty accurate. Although I got to tell you, from day one, I was just not impressed with the hire. I knew about the situation in Denver. Elway got rid of him in Denver for the same reasons that you just noted about his time with Carolina. He was just not taking risks, being overly conservative. And his opening news conference here in Chicago, I thought, was a bust. He just seemed sort of like a feeble-minded, doddering old guy, and we had just brought in this young general manager, and I was hoping to see the organization just bring in some, you know, total fresh blood. But there's a rumor here in Chicago that management wanted Pace to hire a veteran coach so that they could be assured that they'd have someone in the organization who knows the league well. And so it may have been a forced marriage, and Chicago Bears fans have been suffering since.
Yeah, it never works out. I mean, everyone should look at what the Los Angeles Rams did. They went out. They had Jeff Fisher, an old school mind, you know, he knows the NFL well, and they're terrible. You know, they win three games, they win four games, they win two games. They're terrible, terrible, terrible. What do? They hire Sean McVay. Sean McVay's, what, 32 years old? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't even know if he's old enough to drive. And they're one of the best teams in the NFC. They could win the NFC West, and it's the exact same team that they had last year, minus the draft class that they got. And it just shows you how much difference a coach can make in an NFL culture. And the Bears need to find somebody like that. They need to find their Sean McVay.
Is there anyone in the Panthers coaching staff who has a promising head coaching career ahead?
Well, I would say Mike Shula, but you would know I was lying to you. We don't really have anybody, honestly, that I think would be a good fit. You know, maybe Ken Dorsey, but I don't think he's ready for a head coaching job. He's our quarterback's coach. He might be ready for an offensive coordinator position. One guy that we're hoping doesn't get taken from us is Steve Wilks, our defensive coordinator. He's our assistant head coach. So anybody who takes him would have to make him their head coach. But he's a really, really smart guy. He's a quote-unquote football nerd. If you watch him talk about defense in press conferences, he breaks plays down. You know, he just has a real passion for X's and O's, and I think he'll make a really good head coach one day. I'm not sure if that's what you guys want in Chicago. You probably want somebody who's, you know, more offensive minded, like a Kyle Shanahan or a Sean McVay. And we don't really have anybody like that on our coaching staff.
Great analysis, Bradley Smith, the managing editor over at catscratchreader.com. Bradley, once again, tell our listeners where they can find you.
You can find me personally on Twitter at BDubSmitty. You can find us on Twitter at CatScratchReader, and you can also find us at CatScratchReader.com.
Very good. Thanks very much for being on the show. It's been great listening to you.
It's been great talking to you. Thanks for having me.
All right, here we are on the eve of the Bears' seventh game of the season, and what we've learned so far about this team is the following. They have a playoff-caliber defense. Their run game is among the league's very best. Ryan Pace found an offensive gem in the fourth round when he drafted Tariq Cohen. The experiment that was Mike Glennon was a total, brutal failure. But all signs point to the Bears finally drafting a QB in Mitch Trubisky who could truly become the franchise quarterback this town has never really seen. And aside from Vic Fangio and his coaches, the Bears' head coach and offensive coordinator are major busts. Dow Loggins may be hampered by John Fox's conservative nature, but this much is obvious. For every cool trick play Dow Loggins designs, he comes up with at least one poorly designed play. and often his play calling is as awkward as he would look like if he were slow dancing with Taylor Swift. No, Loggins is not the coordinator Mitch Trubisky deserves. And John Fox is not the head coach that Trubisky needs. In fact, Fox has become a major detriment to winning games. Besides not having the balls to take risks, as Bradley Smith just pointed out, his clock management is awful. His use of timeouts and challenges are a joke. His preparedness for the unforeseen is non-existent. He doesn't consider the possibilities outside the norm. His player personnel choices lack the intuition that great coaches possess. And he still has not inseminated this team with the DNA to make big plays, to play to the whistle, to be savage again. His meek presence is the antithesis of what a head coach for the Chicago Bears should be. In a city that is tough, its people even tougher, John Fox comes off as a pushover. He must go, and he should go by October 30th. That's the first day of the bye week. In his place, Vic Fangio should assume the interim head coaching duties. And I guess Dow Loggins should be given one final opportunity to take the bubble wrap off of Trubisky and give this quarterback an opportunity to truly see what it's like to be an NFL quarterback in 2017. Unlike what we have seen, which is a throwback quarterback from an era where the forward pass was seen as often as the sunshine in Chicago's winter months. Get on Twitter at Bears Barroom or on our Facebook page and hashtag FireFox. Send me a video with your plea as to why John Fox should not be coaching the Bears for the second half of this season. Make noise. Lots of noise. Join our campaign. We can affect this change. We must. That's Bears on Tap for this week. Head over to the website where you'll see our hashtag FireFox movie and other features. And remember, if you drink, please don't drive, and always bear down.